Okay, I can't believe that we haven't spoken about this case sooner on your morning show, Melissa. I figured that when I brought it up, you would have already known about it. So
I kind of think
surprised.
It's rude that you're using this show to shame me for my other show, but go on. What case
no,
are you just, even talking about?
It's that case from last week.
You know, you
week.
Have my number. You literally could have texted me about this at any point. You know, it's friendship. You can just tell me
yeah,
what's going on.
You're right.
I don't
so
know.
I
mean, I know a lot, but I don't know it all.
Yeah. And well, you do know a lot and yeah, so I like
now
how you turned
feel
that
bad,
around.
Right?
You did. You turned that all
well,
around
because
on me.
If you're gonna launch that way,
so
no. What is
hey?
Story,
I have
though?
I have a really important case to discuss
today. Oh, do you,
today.
Gary? Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you're bringing this to my attention.
Yes. It you may have heard of it already, but it tragically it involves a Penn State student.
When is this from, though?
From last week.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, within I think it was last weekend.
Oh my gosh! What happened?
A Penn State University student was killed. After an armed robbery.
Yeah, share the screen.
Yeah, so you can look at
after an
I'm
armed robbery? Wait, so what happened?
So a Penn State student, early Saturday morning, coming back from a NBA finals game, I guess watching the game, was walking in Philadelphia, and two individuals approached him, took his cell phone, and then during that altercation, he was shot and killed.
Wait, hold on. That's a lot. Wait, okay, so I'm reading here, according to Philadelphia Police Department, so it's a 22-year-old kid, yep, walking home, what, it was a watch party or something, and then, and so two people took a cell phone, why? I don't understand.
Well, I mean, it's a robbery, so I don't, and we don't, well, there is video of it, so if you go online, you can certainly see some of the video of it, but we don't know why, but individual walking back from the party, late at night, 22-year-old kid. And two people approach him and take his cell phone.
Oh my gosh.
And that's not uncommon, unfortunately. Right. We know that it does occur at times, but you know, this individual, as a result of him taking the cell phone, then we see the video and there's some video which shows him running after the individuals.
Right, to get his phone.
To get his phone back.
Yeah.
And one of the individuals turns, they come around a corner, one of the suspects turns and shoots this poor 22-year-old in the chest, and he dies there. At the
oh my gosh, jeez, that's insane! How it escalates from there to there. I mean, that's wild.
Yeah, and I think it's an important.
That's sad. He's young. Ugh,
I know.
That's awful. But I feel like you know what's scary about that is, I mean, how often we sort of I feel like focus on something like he just wanted his cell phone back. Why it then escalates to a shooting, a deadly shooting, is crazy. Like that's beyond me.
Yeah, well, there's so much to unpack from this. Number one, obviously the police are out there looking for the suspects.
Mm-hmm.
The family's dealing with it. They have made statements that first of all, they can't, even the dad had said, which is interesting, I can't understand why he would run after the individuals to get his phone back.
Mm.
You know, a lot of strength in the family for the dad to kind of go on the air and share his thoughts.
Well, I mean, he's devastated that his son was gone, but I think it's easier. How many times have you said that to me, Gary, where I'll jump the gun and I will say something, you know, oh, this is what I would have done, or I can't believe this. And Gary's like, yeah, well, because you knew it after the fact. But in that moment, I mean, how often do we kind of, I like to sort of the idea of like horses with blinders on, you know, at the parades
right.
where you got
right.
horses and they have the blinders so they don't have to see the kids or they don't have to see all the people, the chaos. They're just focused on the road ahead of them. I feel like the average person is like this 22-year-old where his focus is you took my phone. I'm coming to get it back.
Yeah.
But nothing really else mattered in that moment. Just I'm going to get the phone back.
That's right. And we've had many discussions on your show and elsewhere about being smart with your equipment, especially your phones, because when you're walking in public, you know, we oftentimes, a couple things happen. Number one, you're texting on your phone or you're paying attention. Even at 1 o'clock in the morning, you're still kind of doing something or looking at it. That's for the first thing. By looking at, and again, I'm adding stuff here. This is tragic. This person did nothing wrong.
We take these cases like you, right. So we learn from it. And we also take these cases as I think a jumping point to, you know, how can we personally do more to protect ourselves? That's really it. I mean, you know, we can't fix this 22-year-old is gone. It's horrible. It's terrible. And it's awful. And the whole thing remains under investigation, obviously, but what do we take away from it? And so this idea of, again, I think the average person does focus on something very minute, if you will. not talking about this person in particular, but, you know, when you bring up the cell phones, what was the story I told you maybe a year or two ago in the mall where there was a fight that broke out?
Yes, there was a fight in the mall.
I'm not even kidding with this story. There was a fight that broke out at our local mall here in Connecticut, and you're hearing police say, you know, get on the ground. You're hearing loud noises, and I'm running. I'm like, I got to find an exit to this mall. I got to get out of here. And the amount of people, Gary, that are just swarming to get video of it. I'm sure for likes or for engagement or whatever. Sure. But I think to myself, are you not seeing what's happening? Are you not realizing what is transpiring around you? We're so focused on whatever that small thing is that we lose the big picture to some
part. Yeah, and it goes back to one of our discussions that we had about that normalcy bias. Mm. Because we're our minds are trained to make things normal.
Right.
Even in threatening situations, you're kind of saying that that's a fight. That's nothing more than a fight. And it's not going to be anything more than that. And to your point, we are hyper-focused on likes and our phones, so our phones have become an extension of who we are.
Right.
But if you're using your phone while walking in the street, and from a police perspective, we always tell people, pay attention. If you're using your phone, it's a distraction.
Right.
And that obviously is not something we want to have people do. We want them to pay attention to their surroundings.
Yeah, I loved, there was a couple years ago, I think I've told you this, Gary, but a pastor in our church said something in regards to how much our phones will, and I know we're kind of going a different direction, but we'll bring it back around. I promise you, we'll bring it back around. But the idea of how much the phone has taken over even our common sense and just the way that we would react and have more of a scope of what's going on, the we're so focused on something that ultimately you don't take to the grave with you. I think that's what the pastor had said, something in the effect of, you know, we care so much about how many likes did we get on that video or how much engagement did we get or how much popularity, how many followers do we get, but how many of those people or likes or clicks are going to follow you to the grave, ultimately saying, does this really matter? And the answer is no, of course not.
Right.
You know, maybe for a business standpoint to some degree, but is it worth life or death? How much of that is going to, if you were to put yourself in danger over your phone, how much of that is worth it? And the answer is, it's never worth it.
No. And the phone has become such an extension of us that if you leave your phone at home, or I forget my phone, I've experienced it. I don't know. Where's my phone?
Right.
So we have, you know, the Apple Watch.
You've literally driven back to work for him, which is like a half hour away to go get your phone. And
yes.
I'm like, just get it at the end of the day.
That's right. No, we can't. We have to. Have to have my phone.
Gotta
have
it.
I would probably say that there are people that would leave family members behind before
leave
their phone. Like, oh my gosh, where is my, you know, where's my son? Where's my daughter? I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I don't know.
Where's my phone? I gotta go back and find my phone. So phones are so important to us, and that plays into this a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
It plays into it with a phone. It plays into it with some purse snatching. Sometimes we have stories where individuals will wait in parking lots, and they'll wait for victims, and they'll see victims that are distracted, putting groceries away, and then they'll seize that moment to take a purse. And sometimes we see women or even men, if they have their wallet taken, where they're just so consumed by it that that's mine, I'm going to come take it back. But the phone has become an attachment to us that we can't live without our phone.
And right.
And in this case, what we've seen is an individual who was robbed, took the phone. Now, I don't know whether it was at gunpoint or not, but there's certainly a gun there that ended up shooting him, suspect shooting him. But I don't know whether they displayed the gun during the robbery, how they got the phone from
right.
him. But the
but
phone
to your
was
point,
taken.
Even in situations without a phone, I was thinking about, I don't know when this was, but do you remember the carjacking situation where the guy was in the driveway of his home and there were people coming to his house to carjack him and he fought them off, but they ended up taking the car. But it was a whole, I don't remember where that was. I'm not talking off the cuff too much. But it's that same kind of thing, I would say, whether it is a phone or a purse or an item, that we focus on the things that were taken versus what could this lead to? What could, you know, a burglary or a robbery, what could that lead to? The idea of if somebody came into your home, sometimes, more times than not, I think we focus on the stuff being taken out of our house versus how are we going to get out of this house safely without being harmed?
Yeah,
like, that's
right.
not the first thought, you know, is how do we protect ourselves? Even with fires, we're like, oh, make sure you don't take anything. Well, are you sure? I mean, it's interesting how much weight we put in the stuff.
Yeah, and when we're crime victims, oftentimes have a hard, it's hard to comprehend being a crime victim.
Oh my gosh,
like you're in the middle of something happening and you know you're there, but it's hard to especially when it comes, I don't mean to keep bringing it back to the phone, but it's so important.
Right.
Because it's, that's my phone. You can't take my phone.
Right.
And I'm going to do everything I can to get my phone back. And there's problems with that. Mm-hmm. Number one, we start to think, you know, we don't become victims. And because we're trained, first of all, we're trained in, and we've talked about it a few seconds ago, about normalcy. Mm. And our brains play tricks on us. We want to make things normal. You know, we're talking about this 22-year-old kid that was tragically killed in Philadelphia.
I don't think in any way, shape, or form he thought when his phone was stolen that
all.
It was going to end with him tragically dying. I mean, that's
right.
That's crazy, because who would think like that?
Right. And if we played it out, if we had a group of people, individuals right now, and we talked to them about a scenario, and we said to them, if you had your phone taken and you knew that there was a risk of an individual around the corner mm-hmm. shooting you, would you go get your phone? And the answer is going to be no. Of course
right.
not.
But if somebody took your phone and you are, you know, again, owning your space and you know what belongs to you and you're, like fight or flight, are you going to approach the person and say, you took my thing, I'm taking it back? Or do you let it go? And I do think a lot of people, without knowing how the scenario ends, would say, yeah, of course I'm going to pursue the person and get the phone back. I think a lot of people would have done what this young man did.
Absolutely.
I do.
Absolutely.
I really do.
Because it's my phone.
I would even debate doing what this young man did.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. I honestly think if people are being true to themselves, you would defend your space, your stuff, and a lot of times pursue the person. But we don't think about what kind of comes next or what the full picture is, because there are so many unknowns with this. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about kind of taking your blinders off when it comes to knowing the full picture of a crime that is unfolding. With this case, this Penn State student who was shot and killed after somebody stole his phone. I mean, it's crazy. But we don't look at the full scope of where could this go. But there are so many unknowns, right? So we don't know who these people are. We don't know what they're carrying. We don't know why they're targeting me. We don't know why they were in that location. Like, there are so many things we don't know. The only thing we do know is they took my phone. You know what I mean? And when you weigh that list, which again, you're asking for people to figure that out in seconds.
That's
because
right.
your phone
oh, yeah.
was
yeah.
stolen. So, right, you're thinking, which way do I go? Do I pursue this or do I let it go? And a lot of times we think, well, I know what they look like. I know they took my phone. That's enough for me to go pursue them. But there's so much you don't know. What are they carrying? What's their intention? Why they took this? You know, I think too many unknowns makes you kind of feel like, ah.
And it goes back to some of the things we talked about on how the body reacts to a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it. You're in crisis mode. You said it, fight or flight. You're under stress, so your heartbeat raises.
Mm-hmm.
You start getting the blinders on, to your point about the horses and the way in which they have to have these horse blinders on. And so they're focusing only in they're only looking able to look at certain areas.
Right.
And then our mind starts to say we have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
It's that action bias. We've talked about normalcy bias, but our brain also wants to do something. We feel that we detect a threat, we're under threat, I have to do something. And so it's that action bias. It's the urge to do something rather than remain passive. It's hard to remain passive.
Right.
But there's so much you can do. So you if you think about it, you can be a good witness. You know, we always tell people to be a good witness.
Right, but that always sounds so, you know, a write-off. But it's not actually, because exactly what you just said, if you know what the person looks like or who took your phone, and by the way, you know, the idea of even how smart our phones are today, you know, tracking the phone and things like that, you know, but again, you're talking about split-second decisions. So this is not in any way a critique, but I
no,
do think this is a good example of just kind of looking at how we have to take blinders off.
When, yeah, and there's then to your point about the technology. There, so let's get through the action part. You're driven to action. I need to get my phone back, and your instinct is to pursue. I mean, it's just like my loss of my phone is so important to me that I'm going to try to get it back. And then your stress starts to narrow that thinking, so you're not going to be thinking appropriately. Wait a minute, I don't even know where they ran to, and then your risk assessment changes because you start to not really evaluate the risk.
Right.
And in this case, he didn't.
So it's, and I think the average person doesn't, and which is why I think this conversation is so important. It's interesting because a couple of weeks ago, we had a company event where one of our radio stations had really great ratings and our bosses took us out for dinner. It was very nice. But a couple of the hosts for the day parts of that station went up to the bar. And there was a bartender there. She was very nice. And she told a joke. It was a political joke without really knowing anybody, didn't know any of us. I missed it. But the story was reiterated to me. And long story short, she made a political joke and the radio host didn't like it. Didn't like it. It didn't sit well with him. And in his mind, you know, he didn't say this to her, thank God, because I said, you can't say stuff like that. But he said, how do you know I'm not somebody who is going to fly off the handle and has a gun on them or has a knife on them or is and again, he's not, let me be clear. But his point was, is we don't think, like, we always also think about, well, I would never do that, right? How many times do we have that kind of conversation? I'll call Gary and I'll think, I would never do that to somebody. I would never say that to somebody. I would never act that way. So how in the world could somebody do that? Well, because all people are different, and we don't assess that not everybody is the same. And so even the idea of, you know, are you carrying a gun on you, or are you somebody that reacts poorly to this, or are you somebody that has an ulterior motive to even interacting with me? We don't think like that. In no way, shape, or form did this 22-year-old, not that I could speak for him, in any way, I guarantee you, would have pursued somebody if he knew they had a weapon
on
them.
Right. Of course.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know,
we're talking about it. We were actually just talking about it this morning about the ability, or maybe yesterday, the ability to read the room.
Yes.
And, you know, we always talk about it from the standpoint of what's appropriate to say and what might not be appropriate to say in mixed groups or whatever, politically.
Friendships,
or
families, sure.
Yeah, like, read the room. I'm not feeling all together there today. Why you kind of...
Right, why would you make a comment like that? Or
Right, exactly. I could take it any other time, but just got to read the room and read my emotions.
Right.
That's the same thing from a public safety perspective, is to read the room, but read the environment.
Mm.
Because you have to understand that the phone, your instinct is to go and chase it. We always tell people to be a good witness. Make sure you can, number one, call 911. Well, here I am. Trying to have people call 911
when your phone was just stolen.
I'm sure somebody probably has
a phone.
I gotta work on that one a little bit.
Did you really just make a joke?
I didn't do that on purpose.
I know you didn't do it on purpose. By the way, you probably don't know this, but hey, we're 9 episodes in. Gary is also a stand-up comedian. That's not a joke. That's serious. That's a real thing. I've never seen it, but I do know he makes jokes a lot.
Not a good one, but I am a stand-up comedian.
I can't believe you did actually just say that, though.
I know, but I didn't. So anyway.
Yeah,
so call 911, and then the technology piece of it, to bring that part of it. The ability to have you lock your phone. And so people right now should understand that, what if, we always talk about the what ifs, since these shows are melding together. Like, what if my phone was taken? What would I be able to do? And plan ahead of time for it.
But I like that. I like that conversation of what if your phone is taken? What are your backup plans? Or what do you do next? Who do you talk to? And what's interesting too, Gary, and we've talked about this, where I do find it a lot with the next generation, only because I have a lot of interns at my station who are Gen Z, and they're great, and they're college aged. Some of them are high school. But one of the things that because they grew up in a technology kind of filled environment, is they do have a hard time even getting on the phone or asking for directions or talking to total strangers. But even building up, I think, that comfortability, because I don't think we would feel so attached if we knew how to even have just basic conversation. And so kind of, I guess, working that muscle a little bit. So if your phone is taken, it's actually pretty simple. I guarantee you that most people, unless you are under the age of 8, probably have a phone or probably witnessed it or probably could be there too. I mean, here's a crazy thing too. I bet you the bar had a landline.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm just saying, and, you know, but we don't think about that. And again, not this situation. Please don't anybody listen and think we are ragging on the situation. We are not at all. It's a tragic situation. But I think there are things that we could take from this and just talk about in general. And Gary and I see this, we report on it, we talk about it a lot, that we'll see just in everyday life where people have their blinders on.
They do.
That's what we're referring to, are the everyday people who have blinders on. And I do think that in this case, you know, exercising again, you know, if something is taken from you, what is the action plan?
And do it ahead of time so you're
correct.
Not so, because it can happen very quickly.
Absolutely.
You know, it's... And you know, we like to use analogy of animals here.
Yeah.
And I think a good analogy would be a cheetah.
Okay.
When you think of a cheetah, the cheetahs are very fast.
Totally.
I think they're probably the fastest animal.
They're the fastest land animal in the world.
Right. So
that's what happens when you live in South Africa for 7 months. You learn a lot about animals.
Amazing. That's a whole nother.
That's a whole other segment.
A whole other show. But the cheetah, what makes them very powerful is once they focus on prey, they move quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The downfall of a cheetah is they oftentimes don't look at the risks.
Anything else around them.
Exactly, because they're so hyper focused on the prey. And in this case, that blinded focus on the phone can make it very difficult to pull back. I remember as a police officer getting in a foot pursuit, I was doing auto theft, and two individuals bailed out of a car, and they just bail out. And they're running, and I was chasing one of them, and the corners are bad. And you can see in this video, this kid lost them a little bit. So when you come around a corner, you're going into their environment now.
Right, you've now lost control.
And it's their environment, it's not my environment. And even me, as a police officer running into behind buildings, it's their environment, it's not my environment.
That's
or at least
scary.
They're more familiar
right,
with
right, because that's a shift. Well,
exactly.
Right, it's that same idea.
Because they know where
the
they're
route,
going,
they
and
know
I'm
what
chasing
they're doing.
Them. Exactly.
That's so true.
So the individual went around
so
one corner, went around another corner, and by the third corner, I grabbed his jacket, and I got his jacket, but by the third corner he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And my instinct would be to go after him, but as police officers we are always trying to assess risk, and so we knew, or I knew at that moment in time, that the risk was too hard because it was dark at night. I don't have any idea where they are.
Right.
And thankfully I didn't, because there were two fully loaded magazines in the jacket, which
oh
would be
gosh.
An indicator that he potentially had a weapon on
right,
him.
Right.
And then once you go around the corner you lose that. So I think the lesson is that you don't want to ever be a crime victim, but if you are a crime victim, just be a good victim. Cooperate and never ever chase after anybody, because the dynamics change once you go in their environment.
Right. Well, and I was even thinking, Gary, as you were talking about fire drills, you know how we practice fire drills. And one of the things that we always say is that you leave your personal belongings behind, right? So we teach that with our kids, the
right.
idea of how do you get out of the house safely, but also how do you make sure that you are getting out of the house and you're leaving the blankets, the memories, the photo books, all of that behind. We should exercise that too, with the idea of things that we really rely on. So if it is your phone, if it is your wallet, if, you know, the idea of, and it sounds probably silly, but I do think we can't have this mentality, oh, it's never going to be me. We just hear the news and we move on at the water cooler. If it is you, I think you feel more empowered and you feel more secure if, God forbid, that happens, that I know what to do when the thing that I care about is taken from me. You know, even just being able to practice that and understand that could at least set us up in a better situation if, God forbid, you find yourself like this 22-year-old. It's just heartbreaking.
Yeah. What if my phone was taken? Well, I'll just get another phone.